Our children have more going on than ever before. So what are parents to do? Melissa in the Morning presents For the Kids, now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
I have to confess to you, I wanted to actually tackle both of these subjects, but one of them I'm still working on potentially get a guest. I can't promise you that. But the other I was able to get pretty quickly. So according to Pew Research, most parents pass along their religious and political beliefs. So we're going to focus on the politics this morning, because especially in the climate we're living in 2024, and with it being another presidential election year, politics are being talked about more than ever. And it's become such a common conversation starter, or it winds up being in the conversation even when it didn't start that way. And kids are exposed to it more than ever before. At least that's what it seems like. And in fact, when I looked at Pew Research in a 2023 survey, it indicated the vast majority of parents with teenagers have passed along their political loyalties. Roughly 8 in 10 parents who were Republican or lean towards the Republican Party, that's 81%, had teens who also identified as Republicans. And about 9 in 10 parents who were Democratic or leaned Democratic, so 89%, had teens who described themselves the same way. So I wanted to talk about this. How do we effectively tell our children about the importance of politics, local politics versus national politics, the importance of voting, and how to maybe take down the noise that we hear so much surrounding politics? How do we help our kids and guide them into the understanding of this very big beast that has become so prevalent in our society? And how do we not manipulate them based on our own beliefs? So that's a very big topic, I will say. And I wanted to talk to one of my favorite political professors who's come on the show several times, Scott McLean, who's with Quinnipiac University. And Scott, I know you are not a therapist in this. This is not something I'm looking for you to give a concrete answer. But I thought you would be a great person to have this open conversation with, since you literally are talking to young adults, some who are still teenagers, up at Quinnipiac and looking at just politics overall in a healthy way. So I thank you for even willing to tackle this subject today.
I'm very happy to. No, I'm not a therapist, and I don't think there exists the perfect parent. But I do know a little bit about the process that we call political socialization, and that is how children come to adopt their political values, the patterns of their political activities, and their general outlook and the way they see the role of government in their lives. So I'm happy to talk about that, Melissa.
Yes, please. I mean, I would love for you to start out with that so we can get a better understanding. And I think that that's a really great starting point for where we go with this conversation. So please, you have the floor.
Well, the wonderful thing is that parents have a huge amount of influence on the way their children will eventually become citizens. The bad news is that the parents aren't the only agent that can then create those attitudes. So let's get those other ones out of the way, right? There's, of course, there's the parents, especially in the younger and adolescent years, but there's also school, the media consumption, the kind of news that the children learn to digest, and the behavior of political leaders themselves as children see what our leaders do and what they say. So those things come later, and they're very important. But establishing the basic values that children have, of course, it's the parents. And when we talk about socialization, we're talking about how children learn things at certain times of their life and under the circumstances that they're likely to learn those things, and what the longer term impact of that is. And really what parents can do more powerfully than any other of those agents of socialization is to help their children gain their basic political values and social values and moral values.
So how do you do that? Like when you say to help them gain that, how do you begin to do that, especially if you already are deep-rooted in a certain political party?
The main way this happens is role modeling. Children watch you. They do what you do. So you have far more influence over your children than you may realize as a parent. Example, we know that in homes where parents do a lot of reading, it's much more likely that the child will be a reader. In homes where parents don't do a lot of reading, children are not very strong readers when they get older. There's a deficit there. It's the same thing with politics and society. If you're in a family that's always reading the newspaper, whether the child doesn't actually read the newspaper with you, they get accustomed to the idea that this is what adults do. They read the newspaper or watch the nightly news, even maybe together, and discuss what's going on in the news. Or even more powerfully, we know that families where there are political discussions, maybe at the dinner table or maybe or really anywhere, those children, when they become adolescents and adults, are much more likely to initiate politics and society discussions with their peers. They are more likely to start them. They're more likely to freely engage with them. And they begin to pick their peer group based on those kinds of things, which also is a major influence on children as they grow older, their peer group. So it's largely from discussion. Now, what can you do if you're not a newspaper reader, if you're not someone who's paying attention to the news? You probably wouldn't be listening to this broadcast, right?
Right.
Or you would have turned it to some other station by now that's just playing music or something. So the audience right now are probably the kind of people that do pay attention to the news. They do want to stay informed. The key, parents, is just talk to your children about it. Don't let them think it's some secret thing that they're not able to hear, even if it's shocking or you think that it might, lead to somehow giving them a bad idea of what the world is like. Nevertheless, you have to find a way to include them in that discussion and have those kinds of conversations as a normal part of their everyday life.
During this week's theme for the kids, we are talking about very common topics discussed by parents and guardians all across Connecticut while raising their children. Today, we are tackling probably one of the biggest, most controversial ones, which has to do with politics. How do we help our children to understand the importance of politics and really help them to create their own, I would say, their own values and morals and find their political identity? How do we do that for them without manipulating it? And so we have Scott McLean here, who is a professor of political science at Quinnipiac University. And we've had him on the show several times because I just love the way that he is teaching young minds about the political field, the realm. And I just think that he's doing great things at Quinnipiac. And whenever I chat with him, I feel like I get a lot smarter. So Scott is here. And you were just talking before the break, Scott, about the conversation. I have to confess, I'm one of five kids. And when I was growing up in the 90s and the early 2000s, I had no idea that my parents even affiliated with a particular political party. I had no idea that the Sheketoffs are split on their political party, not in my own household, but like my aunts and uncles, they affiliate with a different party than my father and mother do. And this only really became, I would say, I became very aware of it when I was in college and Obama was running for re-election. So this was after college even. So in my mid-20s, I then realized, oh, okay, so you're this. And I guess my question is, do you think that there has been a huge shift in parents really pushing their political beliefs or even their party onto their children? Do you feel like that is more relevant in today's world than it used to be?
I think we parents who, believe that we can push or control our children's political partisan preferences should just get over ourselves. It doesn't happen that way. There is a tendency for children to adopt the party identification, you know, Democrat, Republican, or none of the above. They get that largely from their parents, but not in a sense that you just sort of make these little partisans. Their children are people with their own minds, and they'll make up their own minds. But it's largely more about the values that you talk about. Is it important to do community service? Should we be concerned about the poor or less concerned about the poor? Are we joiners? Do we join organizations in this family? Or do we not? Do we do, you know, community service in this family, or do we not? And it's those much broader things that have a sort of an indirect influence on political parties. And also one of the things we're finding out in political science about that old idea that children tend to follow the partisan preference of their parents. Number one, parents themselves are not so partisan as you were just talking about in your own family, Melissa. But also, we misremember how involved our parents were. We misremember about what party our parents had. So one interesting study, or several of them in political science, found that once the researchers traced back and actually asked the parents if they really were that party, they would find that the child would just remember them being a certain party when it wasn't necessarily so. So I may misremember my parents being big Republicans or big Democrats, or you may misremember them not being very involved, but maybe they very, very much were involved. So it's a very indirect process. And to think that we could control and sort of make children into partisans in our own image, it is really stretching it. That's not really how it works.
So how do you have those, I guess, kind of going back, Scott, and you started to touch on it, which is that maybe the conversations we're having with our kids, first of all, it's looking at more of the broad standards of your family. Like you said, it's not saying, you know, you're a Republican if, or you're a Democrat if. It's looking at, hey, how do you feel about, I don't know, like you were saying, how do you feel about community service?
Right. So how do you feel about your obligation to the community? Do you see government as mainly a good thing or a bad thing?
More of those broad questions.
Yeah. So it also has to do with the family environment. So if someone is growing up in a place where the police have been violent, that there are street gangs, that there's chaos, a lot of poverty, you're probably not likely to see government as a really positive thing. You probably think of government in more critical terms. If you come from a family with a lot of privilege and you didn't have to deal with any, you know, major social disturbances, you might be more likely to see, police as, you know, helpful, friendly people, and other institutions. This applies too. So when you think about the legislature, you think about Congress, how you see the president. Yes, the news matters, and that matters later in life, but a lot of it does come for younger children up to age about 12, 13, 14. The family has a significant role to play. So what kind of conversations? Just talking about the news and having the news be a topic of conversation around the dinner table is important. If you're a voter, take your kid to vote. Let them in on the mystery. Let them see what that's all about, and make it a normal thing to them, that it's normal that people vote. It's expected that people vote. One of the things we're seeing is, you know, not so many people vote. And we know that people who don't have a political party preference vote less often than people who have a party political preference. And kids see that. It does affect the way they come to model you when they get older.
That is really interesting. So it feels like actions are bigger than really anything else, which I think is really important to know. And I do also think with every other aspect of conversation you have with your children, more often than not, we are just sort of there listening. But I do find with, again, politics and religion, those are two of those things that I think have always stood the test of time. I think that's where you will see more emotions come out. But even just sitting back and in hearing what your kids have to say. Again, my kid is only five, so we're not even really there yet. But it is interesting when you hear what he feels about things that eventually will shape the way he views things politically. And I just think it's neat to just kind of sit back and hear him. And my husband and I, you know, unless he asks us our opinion, we just listen. I don't know. Sometimes that's also the effective thing, is to just see if this even matters to them and what their thoughts are, and just being an ear for them. I don't know. I don't know if you agree.
That's important, Melissa. Family dynamics and the way families make decisions are related to political views. In families that maybe there's a hierarchical decision, you know, where mom or dad or mom and dad make decisions and they're just told this is the law. This affects the way children see the law. This affects the way children see all kinds of decisions that are important. But if there's much more interaction, exchange of ideas, opinions, they come to see this is the way politics should be done. It should be done with a lot of discussion and a lot of participation. And that affects the way they think of politics, too. If there are separated parents or mixed families that are sort of reconstructed out of different marriages that have ended, that affects how they tend to follow their parents' lead on that.
Yeah.
Liberal teenagers tend to have liberal parents. Conservative young people tend to have conservative parents. But nevertheless, you can't control how they're going to come out. About a third of United States teenagers have a different political ideology than the one that they were raised with. And we know this is true in imparting religious beliefs as well as political values. And so parents just deal with the fact that there's a good chance your child will have a mind of their own. And isn't that really what we want in the
right.
end as parents?
For exactly.
children to think for themselves.
Yeah. Well, and for them to feel confident. And as long as, again, they're good people and they have strong reason to believe what they do. And again, they're not hurting people. They're good people. And they've thought through what they're saying. I agree with you, Scott. I think that's more important than anything. So I appreciate you weighing in again on a very challenging conversation, but one nonetheless that many people like to talk about and ask us questions about here on WACC. And I thank you for being part of it.
It's always my pleasure, Melissa. Great show.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate you. And I'm sure we'll have Scott back on the show very soon. Scott McLean, who is with Quinnipiac University here on WICC.